Good morning again, everyone. We are in John chapter 14. That sounds like a broken record, but this is the end of John chapter 14. We will move forward after today. John 14, 25 to 31. What is peace? What is it to us? Have we ever felt at peace? What was it? Did it last? What brings it to you for you? Is a cup of coffee in the morning? That book? The TV show? Maybe it was a few weeks ago when the kids went back to school and the house went quiet. That was the peace. Did it last? Not really, right? Seems like peace comes and goes. You obtain it, you lose it. On to the next thing that leaves you unsettled. That's sort of the life we live, where it's ups and downs, it's ins and outs. There's always things going on, pulling us many directions. We feel like peace is a thing that cannot be grasped. Well, we're going to look at peace this morning in our text, and it's not peace like we think about. It's not that cup of coffee. The peace we long for and the peace we need is the peace of Jesus. His peace is the only one that lasts. That's what we're going to see this morning. And the peace of Jesus is only experienced by believers. Three parts today. The helper of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, and faith in Jesus. John 14. Verse 25. Let's stand as we read God's word together. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for this morning, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this chapter in John that we've been in. We thank you for these words on these pages. Help them settle upon us. Help us work through them and let them linger and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are moving through chapter 14. Bit slowly, and for good reason. There's a lot to see and hear and digest here. And this is the last of this upper room conversation. That's where we've been. You can see the map on your handout, upper room. We're going to be headed toward the garden. It's likely they head there after the verses today. Where were we last? Well, he will not leave us. He will not leave us as orphans, and those who love him will see him, but the world will not. Do we love him? Do we believe? And this week, more of the helper of Jesus, and more of Jesus, and another call to faith here. So let's dive into this. The helper of Jesus. Where do we begin this morning? Well, he began with, these things I have spoken. So what are these things? we could be here a while. Everything in this book are these things. Every word on every page. For the sake of time, let's limit our brief recap to this upper room scene. That's where we've been here for several chapters, the upper room. Whoever sees me sees him who sent me. That's John 12:45. If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. 13:8. One of you will betray me. 13:21. I am going away. 13:36. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. 14:6. Whoever believes will do my works. 14:12. I will not leave you as orphans. 14:18. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. 14:23. These are only some of the teachings from this upper room across these chapters. Some of the insights of Jesus to his faithful. Some of it hits harder than others. And it's all true. The caveat here is that Jesus says, these are the things spoken to you while I am still here. He says that. And this gives us the notion that when he's not here, he will continue to speak. How? The Holy Spirit sent in his name. We keep looking at the Holy Spirit because John, the author, and Jesus keep pointing to him. The Spirit is a him. It is a person of the Trinity, and yet is fully God. The Spirit is not with us like Jesus was, but is in us, in every believer. Acts 2:38, Peter said to him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was after Pentecost. That was the first giving of the Spirit after Jesus leaves, and it continues for everyone who believes. It is the source of your new life. What does this giving of the Spirit lead to? Well, Galatians 5 tells us that. The giving of the Spirit leads to the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's what it leads to, and it was in contrast in that same passage to the fruits of the flesh. So it leads to the separation of the Spirit of God and the flesh of this world. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So it leads to help from within. This is the Holy Spirit of God in your life, and Jesus points to two things in this text that He will do for you. He will teach you all things and bring remembrance all that Jesus has said. Do we hear the difference between those two things? One is remembering the word of Jesus, which we have on these pages. We are privy to because of the Gospels and the New Testament writers, and because of God's will and providence over His word, we have the words of Jesus. And the Spirit will help us remember those words, and also teach us all things. So the Spirit picks up where Jesus and His word leaves off, continuing to draw us in closer to God because of the Spirit. Continuing to learn the things of God because of the Spirit. Not replacing the word of Jesus, but rather teaching us according to it. It will never be in contrast or in contradiction. What the Spirit teaches is further, but is always founded upon the Word. And we understand this premise. It's our whole life we run into things under this premise. Take math as an example. 1 + 1 = 2. Good job, lads. Now, we know math goes a little further than that, right? There's complexities in math that we don't fully understand. You do the addition and subtraction, and then you do the multiplication tables, right? And then you have the geometry and trigonometry and statistics and calculus and all these fun things. You do the compound interest. But none of that matters if your 1 plus 1 doesn't equal 2. It has to be built on the foundation. The Spirit takes us further, but never further away. So how do we know that it is the Spirit of God leading? You hear it all the time, right? God told me to do this. God has led me here. This is God's will. We've used these statements. We know that other spirits exist. We know that not all of your influences or your decisions have come from God. Would you hang every choice you've made on God? Probably not. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. Scripture says false prophets and false teachers will arise. Scripture says that people will begin to lean toward what they want to hear instead of the truth. And we see that everywhere. So how do we know? 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is the how we know. It is to test these things. And how we test is with the Word of God. That's the test. Is it in here? Not is it coming out of the mouth of the pastor. Not is it on that TV worship service or written in that self-help book. Not does it fit into some new cultural norms. Is it in here, full stop? I think what we will find once we find ourselves in this book, really in it, really looking for guidance, not just plucking the words, love and care and don't judge, but really looking, we will see that most things around us are not from the Spirit of God. Amen. We will also find several things in our own lives that do not match up to the Spirit of God within us. Amen. That's a hard truth to swallow. That is to say, our own desires are against the will of God, and we must turn from them. You will not hear that from the world. You will not hear that from those who are worldly in your life or on your TV. You will only hear that from this book and from those pointing to this book and from the very Holy Spirit within. So what are we to do? Lean into God's Word. Lean into God's people. Don't stray from this place just because you have strayed in your life. Everyone needs an anchor, especially when the waters get rough. What we do in our life is say, oh, it's rough now, let me cut the anchor. That's not it. Lean into God Himself through prayer. Lean into the Holy Spirit within. Jesus died in your place. Jesus then sent this helper in His place. Do not neglect the Spirit of God. Repent and believe and lean in. Jesus points us to something else here. His peace. Now this peace is directly connected to the Holy Spirit. No peace of God found in the unbeliever. So, faith and spirit and peace all fit together. Now, here are His words on peace here. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. One of our many gifts from our Savior, salvation is one of those gifts, eternal life. One of many gifts was the peace of Jesus. God's peace. Pause there. What does that mean? I can can tell you first what it does not mean. Living at peace with all things. We will not have that here. Scripture tells us as far as it's up to us, as far as we can go, live peacefully, but that will not be perfect. Far from it. The world does not seek your peace, but for you merely to step aside or affirm or blend in. That's not peace. That's a sitting down instead of a standing up, and that's a choosing to get along at the cost of living your faith. That's not it. So what does he mean? Well, Psalm 34, 14 says this. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Pursue it how? What is it? Well, it's not what, but who. Isaiah 9, 6. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The peace he gives is himself. He is the peace. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 16:33, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He put on flesh and dwelt among us. He was one of us, then his cross for us and his empty tomb for us and his spirit sent on our behalf so we could see and hear and feel this peace. The world is full of tribulation and despair, and Jesus is the peace you need in it. Not to escape, but to get through. Not to be unaffected by the things in your life, but to know you walk through them with him. That's the peace. Do we know that peace? The other thing he says here is that he does not give like the world gives. What does that mean? The world gives peace falsely. It cannot offer the peace you seek. It can offer many things. Some of them are good things. We have good things in our life. Some bad things. Many twisted things. Many things offered by the world for your peace, but it'll never be real peace. It's circular. It's temporary. You'll always be left short. You'll always be left wanting more. It cannot fill your need. You can't get what you seek from those places. That news channel, the latest author, the political party or person, it'll always leave you short. It'll always be temporary. You know this because you know what you've tried to find peace in. You know where you've searched. Jesus is different. What he offers is different. He's not just some author, but the author of life. He's not just some political leader, but is the King of Kings. Also, what he has offered is not just some new slogan or fading promise, but rather he has offered himself. He has offered his own life for yours. His promises never fade. His peace is everlasting. He does not offer you more of you, but more of him. His peace will never leave you, because his peace is knowing your future. Eternal joy, eternal life, eternal peace for all who believe. That's the offer that the world cannot match. The question is, where have we been turning to seek this peace? He then reiterates here that he's going away, he's going to return, and all who believe in him will rejoice. And what a day that'll be when we are by the side of the Prince of Peace. But he also says something else. Because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. He grounds the basis of what he tells us on the fact that the Father is greater than him. And we should take a pause at what he just said. Don't gloss over it. The Father is greater than the Son. Now, our Christian minds should take us to the fact that Jesus has been telling us that he and the Father are equal and are one. So which is it? It is both. Holy Trinity, holy mystery, but not all mystery. We understand this concept of Father-Son relationship. No matter how our life goes, no matter how much we accomplish, we have these relationships in our life. Father-Son, other dynamics, other relationships in your life, these people in your life that we honor and hold as greater no matter what. Not in the sense of idolatry or worship, but in the sense that they had a hand in you and are a part of you. That's how Jesus honors the Father. All three are one, and yet all are unique, and yet all are God. Also, the Father sent the Son. And the Father sends the Spirit on behalf of the Son. The Father created all things through the Word of God, which is the Son. Why do we need to see this? Jesus grounds what he says and what he promises in the Father. Why can you trust these things? Because I go to the Father. Why can you trust this book and this man named Jesus and this Spirit in your life? Because it is all from the Father. That's the foundation of peace here. God. Do we trust him? Do we lean in? Do we have that faith? We've come to our last few verses here today, and they point us directly to that faith. It is the foundation of why we are gathered. It's the foundation of why we think heaven is real and eternal life and is something that we could grasp. The foundation of how sinners falling short of a holy God who demands perfection, by the way, how these sinners can be saved. This foundation is that we believe the words of Jesus. Through this book and its authors, through their martyrdom, through the history of the world, through the Holy Spirit of God and the gospel of God and ourselves being born again to new life, all these things point to Jesus being true. And this has to be the case or we can go no further. And it has to be the case in everything he says. We live or die eternally by his words, being true or not, and it is all of them. Now his words this morning, verse 29. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Let's begin there. And this morning we began together by looking at all the things he's been saying in this room with them. And this statement here is more of that. It's all those things. But also, it comes specifically after what he just said to them. What did he just say? I'm sending you the Spirit. I'm sending you my peace. I am going to the Father. That's what he just finished saying, and then he says, when these things happen, it is so that you may believe. Everything Jesus says and does for them, for us, is so that we may have faith in him. It's to strengthen our faith, and these things do happen to them. These disciples await in fear and anxiety in this same upper room for the Holy Spirit. Then he pours it out of them. And then the gospel pours out of them into the world. And thousands are saved in that moment. So that they may believe. He sends them his peace. Now what is their context here? He's gone. And they're being hunted after he's gone. Persecuted. Imprisoned. Executed. Look at the stories of the apostles. Look at the stories of Paul. Of Stephen, the stoning of Stephen. Do we know his words in that moment? First, What did he say to get stoned? What made the Pharisees pick up these rocks to want to take him out? Well, here's a piece of it. Acts 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Ouch. He's saying that to the religious elite. Obviously their response was to stone him, but this is how it took place. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments down at the feet of the young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's what the peace of Jesus delivered looks like. Not avoiding the storms, but seeing him in them. Not always surviving without a scratch, but knowing where your life is leading. Where you belong. And while experiencing this peace, you reach out for others to experience it. What kind of peace did he have to be cut by the stones they throw and ask for their forgiveness? Who are we doing that for? We cannot if we don't have it. Faith is where we find it. Everything so that we may believe. Everything so that others may believe through us. And Jesus continues here and he tells them that he doesn't have much time left. And from our perspective on this side, we know he could see the garden from here. He could see the cross coming. When he says, rise, let us go, that's where they head. He also tells them that the ruler of this world is coming. And I find it interesting that that isn't Jesus. It isn't. It isn't God the Father either, though it is by his hand. And you may be thinking, you can't say Satan is by the hand of God, but you go read Job and try to land somewhere else. And also, we need it to be by the hand of God. We need the creator of all things with his thumb on the ruler of this world, telling him he can go no further. Need it. Jesus, not the ruler yet. His time comes in the end. It's Satan's time now, and we see it and feel it all around us. And it's not just in the openly evil things we see and witness. There are plenty of those platforms now to be celebrated. But we also see it in the complacency of God's people. We see it in what we accept and lean into. Satan does not have to get you to reject good morals or right from wrong. He only needs you to reject that it comes from Jesus. We've gotten good at that. He doesn't need you to reject going to church. He just needs to reorder the church in his own way. Today we write our own ticket. We accomplish all our own things. Jesus has become not the source, but the stamp now for many. This is from the ruler of this world. And Jesus makes sure to note that this ruler has no power over him. Verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. What is he saying to them and to us in his final moments of this upper room? Where I am going, what lies in front of me, my humiliation and torture and death, my cross, my tomb, is not a victory of Satan. What is coming is not a claim that the current ruler of this world will ever have on me. That's what he wants them to know, because he knows what it's going to look like. So horrific, they can't stand to be there. So heartbreaking, they will be lost and think they are lost forever. How can the Messiah die by the hands of the evil he came to save us from? The answer is that he did not die by the hand of Satan, or the Romans, or the Jewish leaders, or the Jewish people. They all had a part to play, but the part they played was designed by God. Jesus on the cross because of the will of the Father alone. I do as the Father commands. I do His will. His words are my words. If you see me, you see Him. Jesus cannot make it any clearer. The plan before time began for salvation is unfolding in front of them, and he wants them to know so that when it happens, when it seems like it can't get no worse, then they will see the plan of God so that they may believe. Now, the chances are high that you're going through something not according to your plan. You're dealing with something heavy right now. Even as you hear my words, maybe you haven't even heard my words. Loss of loved ones, loss of relationships, loss of health, pain you can't get to go away, thoughts you can't push out of your head, anxieties and unknowns. Your kids and your grandkids are growing up and you're getting older. There are many, many things in this life that seem to go their own way. What Jesus says to these faithful in this upper room and to us this morning is that it is not about you having the control. We wish it was that easy. We wish nothing would happen except for what we want. A fallen world does not work that way. A fallen people cannot have that power. And for good reason. Our way would not be the right way. Mm-hmm. It's not about having the control. It's only ever about knowing the one who is in control. He has it. It is going somewhere, and maybe that somewhere right now is just the grief. That's okay. Grieve well, but grieve knowing who has it. Knowing who goes before to prepare a place and returns to get you. And in between, he has you by his Spirit within. Hold on to that today. Faith in Jesus is the only way. I want to close with a question this morning. We've looked at the Holy Spirit of Jesus today. We cannot be His without the Spirit. We've looked at the peace of Jesus and how it's the only peace you will ever feel that is real and lasts. We've also looked at faith in Jesus. Everything He has said and done is so that we may believe. And We could not have faith without His witness or without His Spirit or without His peace. And we could not have faith without a sacrificial death. One sinless man died to carry the sins of many if we believe. Now the question, do we believe? Not have you been baptized. Not have you said some prayer. Not if you're living some perfect life. Do you believe in the Son of God? Has what He has said and done in this book and in your life changed you forever? Have you ever felt His Spirit move within you? Have you ever felt His peace? Not a peace that removes all storms, but a peace that says the storm will not last forever. A peace that says this storm is not the end. Do you believe? Part two. What are you still holding on to that Jesus says let go of? What are you still trying to find peace in that can never offer peace? What are you hanging on to that the Holy Spirit within is warring against? You can feel it. You know it. Let go of it. Do we believe in the Lord Jesus? If yes, then you're saved and you're His and you'll have His Spirit and you'll feel His peace. If the answer is no, then repent and believe today. He is the only way. Now let that faith, that Spirit, that peace remove that wickedness from your life. Let the promises of Jesus pull you down a better road today. Let this book and your prayer life and you gathering with this people in this room who love you, let this be the new start today. Jesus died so you could live forever. Let forever start today. What's on your heart? What do you need to let go of? Give it to Jesus and find your peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much again for this morning together. We thank You for Your words on these pages to us. We thank You that we have this readily available, that we can lean into this as often as we want. And I pray that that describes us going forward in the days and weeks ahead, that we will open this book individually and together to see what You have for us on these pages. Father, help us find the faith that leans into You and not the world. Help us find the faith that helps us lean out to spread Your gospel to the world. The world is desperately searching for peace, and they search for it in all the wrong places. We can see it. We can feel it. Father, give us the courage and the strength to be Your people that stand upon Your word and our Savior Jesus Christ and Your Spirit within while we reach out for You to seek and save the lost. Be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray.